B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Waters misses the three with the Celtics down six. Rebound pinballed around. Wizards have it appropriately enough in the hands of Thomas Bryant. The clock will hit triple zeros, and this most unexpected and fascinating irregular season has come to an end for the Boston Celtics, and now the playoff talk can begin in earnest. The final score, Washington 96, Boston 90.
Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on, I have no idea what day it is. Thursday, August
13th.
Okay.
Thursday, don't you know what today is?
13th. No.
11 years on the air.
Oh, a happy birthday.
You
happy
too. You too, sweetheart.
Happy.
You too, honey.
How do you feel about the Celtics?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about the Celtics overall. I mean, I'm not going to judge them based on that freaking calamity today. A bunch of nobodies out there on the floor. So I told you that I think that the absolute floor for the Celtics should be in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's what I think it should be. I think without home court being a factor, that they can beat that Toronto team. I think that that's a realistic goal. I think they'll lose to Milwaukee. But given the way the year has gone, given the way, you know, Walker appears to be physically, Hayward seems to be a little bit better, all of that, yes, they should get to the Eastern Conference Final at a minimum.
Okay, so you've come around on this.
Yeah, well, again, I not really, but...
Murray, do you notice how he does this all the time?
Yeah, because he doesn't want to actually say the words, the Celtics are kind of good.
He moves, I mean, and then it's like, I say, okay, so that's movement. You're like, well, no, not really. No, but there's movement.
Well, they're like a B-level movie star. They're a good B-level movie star. That's what they are. But they're B-grade. So, again, in the NBA, it really comes down to L.A., and Milwaukee. Everyone else is kind of B-grade, and the Celtics are on the higher end of the B-grade.
They're Keanu. But they're not Milwaukee's Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Right. That's a good way to look at it, yeah.
But, Mass, yeah. Before we got going down there, the Celtics were behind Toronto. So now they're ahead of Toronto.
On a neutral court? Sure.
Oh, my God. Here we go, Murray. You
it's
see?
It's amazing.
Here he does it. Just say it. They're a little better than you thought they were.
They're a little bit better than I thought they were.
Okay.
A little bit.
There we go.
A little bit. Just
there
a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. That's all you need to be.
And let's not rule out the fact that Ben Simmons went down. That's also a huge variable. They have a size problem, and now they're not going to have as much of an issue with Philadelphia. If they lose to Philadelphia without Simmons, that's a horrible sign. And so, you know, things have also fallen their way a little bit. It's opened up for them. But I do think that given what I saw in that Toronto game, they elevated for that game. And that, to me, was a good sign.
Okay, so you think Philly's a different matchup without Simmons?
I do.
I mean, different to the point where you would call it differently.
Absolutely. He handles the ball, what, 70% of the time? Like, he's a critical guy. Absolutely, he's a critical guy. And so, you know, I know you don't love him, and I know he can't shoot. And I don't love him either. I'm not telling you that. But he's instrumental to their operation. It'd be the equivalent of the Celtics losing, like, I don't want to say Tatum, but, you know, Brown or Hayward or Walker. And I put Walker further down the list. But even so, it's a big piece. I mean, it's a big piece to lose.
Okay. Philly was trash before the Simmons injury. They're trash after the Simmons injury. You shouldn't have lost to him before. You shouldn't lose to him now. Matchup does not scare me. You, Murray, does it still scare you? And let me say this quickly to the audience. We're going to open up Celtics here like yesterday. Sort of the weird timing of the postgame show gives us a longer first segment. So if you want to jump in now and jump in now on the Celtics, I would do it. I can't promise you how much Celtics we're going to do throughout the balance of the day. So now's your chance, Green Teamers. 617-779-0985. Murray, are you still as scared of the Sixers?
No, not at all. I think losing Simmons is massive for them. And unless Joel Embiid can completely dominate, I just don't think they're going to to be able to do it against playoff caliber competition. I don't think they're going to be able to do it against the Celtics. And I don't think that that's going to happen with Embiid because he's taken a beating just in this last week. They're really catching a break with the injuries with Philadelphia. Now the Celtics should beat up on them in six games tops.
Okay. Philly sucked before the injury. They're just not as good as they should be. They're not. They never have been, and they're not going to be. With that coach and Embiid being the best player, he's not the guy. He's not the right guy. And so I just think you people have overrated them. That was never going to be. It should never have been an issue. Should never have been an issue. You should like that matchup, even with Embiid healthy or Horford playing or whatever. You should be thankful you're playing them and not the Heat. The Heat would be the tougher match. I mean, I think you're beating them all. You know, frankly, but in terms of tough matchups, I think you got an easy one, especially even though I hate Simmons, especially that does help.
Yeah. You underrate Philly's talent, though.
Yeah,
like, I don't disagree with you on a lot of the other stuff. I'm not all that impressed with Brett Brown. And I do think they clearly are dysfunctional. But when they want to play, ooh, they're a tough matchup. They're a tough matchup.
Overall, the team, I'm pleased. You know, because unlike some green teamers, I just have natural concerns that they always think it's going to work out, and I don't, and so I think there was a chance there, coming out of the pandemic. Just what were they going to look like? What was Kemba Walker's knee going to look like? What was Jason Tatum's game going to look like after spending the whole pandemic on the driving range and really obsessing and caring more about golf than basketball, which is documented, which is what he's been telling people. Never mind, Jaylen Brown and not that this is a bad thing or anything, but marching through the streets and different interests and, distractions and things like that. And, what was it all going to look like when it came together? And would they have the maturity and all of that to look like a real squad here? And would all that come together? Never mind Gordon Hayward, who we always have questions about. Like, I think all those things sort of came through, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Look, again, the Toronto game told me a lot. The Toronto game told me a lot because Toronto's really been the second seed in the East all year long. The Celtics clearly had that game circled because that's the next team on their radar. Again, I think Milwaukee's clearly the class of the East. Okay, so if Milwaukee's not in the finals, I think that's an upset. Now, but for the Celtics, Toronto's the next goal, and that game did. It told me a lot, and I thought that, look, I it's nice to see them act like they have something to prove. And that's what they did in the Toronto game. One of my real complaints of the Celtics under, this young group taking post Kyrie, and even when Kyrie was here, they act like they've won stuff and they haven't won stuff. And teams like that act like Philadelphia acts, like they don't have to try. And this was a game in the bubble against a team that really is not a threat to win the championship this year in Toronto. And as a good a year and impressive a year as the Raptors have had, but they're in front of the Celtics. Ooh, and they came out and they were ready to go that night. They were ready to go. And to me, that's a good sign. Like that to me did open my eyes. I'm not going to lie to you about that.
Okay. Yeah. So that game, and quickly, the shootout that they had with Portland at the beginning of the month were the two that's like, okay, no, this team can hang with anybody as long as you have Brown and Tatum going the way that they were in those games.
Okay. So collectively, yes. Individually, I don't know. I mean, just the things I clicked off. I mean,
sure.
I think Kemba Walker's knee is better than as good as you could have hoped it could be.
Totally.
I mean, we were all sort of holding our breath that first week. Like, he can't practice. He's held out of practice. He practices, then he doesn't practice the next day. And, not that he's 1,000%, but it's better than it looked like that first week. I think Jaylen Brown's been a revelation. I think Hayward has been, on balance, good, very good. And I think Tatum, a little more up and down, but his ceiling still looks there. And so, I mean, I think all those things sort of came through. You come out of it. You come out of these preliminary games and you say, well, pretty much everything you wanted to see, you kind of saw. I mean, really. Even freaking this guy that I know people just want to talk about, Troy in the car. Go ahead, on the Celts. Who you want to talk about?
Jimmy Rob Capone. Williams has moved at all.
Okay. Has it moved at all for Rob Williams? Has your little Time Lord moved there, Maz, at all?
I would say maybe about a second or two. I wouldn't go much beyond that. So here's what I'll tell you. The ability's there. It's not a question of the ability. I just don't know really how sort of focused and engaged he is. And, I don't want to say knucklehead because I don't know if he's a knucklehead, but half the time on the floor, he looks to me like he's, I've told you, either not interested or just kind of standing there or isn't fully aware of what's going on around him. Maybe that's youth. Maybe that's who he is. When the guy misses a flight and loses his wallet or whatever it is, I start to think it's more about him than it is about the inexperience. But the ability, Look, he has flashes where you look at him and go, oh, man, this guy could be a factor. He could. He has flashes. But flashes don't do it for me. So, if I see it in the postseason and I see it against teams that have, you know, functional big men, it doesn't have to be against Embiid because Embiid's a mismatch on everybody. But just can give them – if Williams can give them something consistently in the postseason – I'll really start to change my mind, but I'm not there yet.
Yeah, I didn't expect anything out of him, but I think he's been one of the nice surprises, at least recently. I thought the game against Memphis was maybe his best that I've seen him play defensively. He's not biting on fakes that I've seen him bite on before. He seems more confident taking mid-range shots. I mean, if you can get that kind of game out of him, he's going to help.
Okay, he's a glimpse. He might be a factor.
Yeah,
he might be a factor. Which, Maz, I'm sorry, is movement from where I had him, which was...
non-factor.
I'm not going to consider the guy till he shows up and can, and he still might. You know, he is just right. He's a missed bus ride away from, or a sore ankle from me not seeing him again. But I thought there was a chance that he wouldn't even make it through the bubble.
Yeah,
because that's just his history, right?
Given his injuries, the hip injury, I mean, he's dealing with maladies that like an old person would. And the best I can say about him is watching him so far in the bubble. I've said, maybe there's something there. I'm not going to go like Mason Souza, who works here, and call him the next Hakeem.
But the dream.
Yeah, but there could be something there with that kid.
Yeah, I want to see, will Stevens put him into a game when it matters? That's what I want to see. So it's nice to say, okay, he played better in the bubble. They used him in some spots. He got some more minutes. All true. Absolutely. But when it comes into, you know, if it's second half, for early fourth quarter, like I don't expect him to be on the floor in the final 5 minutes. Okay, but if it's a playoff game and they need some minutes out of him, will Stevens put him in there? I'll tell you one thing he has going for him. I think he's a little sneaky because, you know, because of the length of his arms. You look at him and you say he's 6'9". And this happened in the game in San Antonio earlier in the year. Guys line up to take jump shots against him and they don't think he can get there. And he can because he can block a shot on a jumper that you don't think he can get to. It's a little, it's like kind of like Chara's reach in hockey. Like, you know, all of a sudden the guy looks and the Chara's stick has poked the puck away because he doesn't realize that Chara's reach is that long. I think it's similar with Williams in that way. And that could make him a little bit of a sneaky factor if they use him.
Okay. This is one time. And I always just parse it, Maz, because the Celtics fans always think this way. The Celtics fan never has a bad day. It's all good news. It's all upside, right? So I hate to go here, but what's been the bad news down there for them? Have they had any?
Not really, no. No, I would say the thing that I would be most critical about was their perimeter defense. And to me, they were pretty poor at that. In fact, I'd say borderline piss poor, particularly in the early part. It felt like it got a little bit better. And, you know, again, I want to see it in the playoffs and see what it looks like when we get to that. But beyond that, you know, no major injuries, no major bad performances. Like, it does feel like it's all sort of rolling in the right direction. With that, I agree with you.
I think, if anything, there was overperformances. I don't know if there were many underperformances. I think it was all sort of I got more out of what I thought. From guys, not less. Tatum would be the one exception that was up and down. A little more, but for the most part, I think it was all sunshine, rainbows, and, you know, that thing.
Yeah, anything that was bad were blips. I mean, Tatum's first game that he had 5 points against Milwaukee, all right, bad showing, but he has since looked a hell of a lot better, and I hated the loss to Miami, but that loss doesn't outweigh the two wins I saw down there that I really like Toronto and the one against Portland. So it was nothing really that bad.
Okay, so... to me, if they don't seriously sniff the finals, it's a fail. And that's all there is to it. If they go down meekly to the Bucks, that's a fail. The Bucks are kind of ripe. I don't know if you've followed them, but they have not hit on all cylinders down there. Giannis is a little out of sorts. Even, you know, I've lost his cool. Like, I've never seen him lose his cool.
Right. That reeks to me of, like, I'm tight. This should be ours. We should be going to the finals. Like, I've never seen that dude act like that before.
Me neither. He's typically not that. And so maybe he's feeling it. You know, there's scuttlebutt in NBA circles that if the Bucks don't at least make the finals, Giannis is gone. They only have him for one more year and the clock starts ticking. So I don't know if you want to keep – if you're the Celtics and you want to – you know, do you want Giannis to stay in Milwaukee or you – I mean, let me put it to you like this. Who do you think the leader in the clubhouse is to sign Giannis if he leaves as a free agent?
Miami.
Oh, that would make a lot of sense.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So that's the – a lot of people say Miami. To which I would say, I think you're better off keeping him in Milwaukee if you're the Celtics.
Oh, definitely.
be that as it may, there's a chance for there's a little bit of a power shift where, you know, the writing's on the wall with Giannis in Milwaukee. If you can knock them out and he wants out of Milwaukee, you get him to change location. Maybe that's good for you. Maybe that's not. That's just sort of a sidebar. But I'm sorry. There's no one in the East who should beat you, with the exception of the Bucks. And even there, the more I look at it and the way it stands right now, I mean, to me, that's almost a coin flip series. That's almost a coin flip series. And anything less to me is a disappointment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.